Konnichiwa.
Howdy, y'all.
I'm Leslie.
I'm Laurie. Welcome to
Sumo Kaboom.
Sumo Kaboom.
Where we talk about all things sumo.
That's right. And I think we should maybe title this episode, All Roads Lead to Isagahama.
Yes.
Isagahama has been in the news a lot.
Yes.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about those and what that means and who this guy is, mm-hmm. who is the coach, like all the stuff you might need to know to help you understand a little bit more flavor about what's happening over there.
Yeah. There's some major players in the JSA and they're all coaches. And he is a high-powered coach who has a lot of winning wrestlers in his stable, including the last one, Takaru Fuji.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about all of that. But first, how about a poem?
Sure.
It's from Little Miss Sumo. Takeru Fuji. Tic-tac-toe. I want to put X and O. Hashtag, we love you.
Oh, lovely.
Nice haiku.
I like a haiku most recent winner of the spring basho.
Yeah. Thank you, Little Miss Sumo, for your poetry. We love it when you send it.
Let's start with some light stuff. I think you may have heard this, but officially, Koto Nowaka is now going to be known as Koto Zakura. That is his grandfather. That is his shikona, and he was a yokozuna. So we, in the spring tournament, will be seeing Koto Nowaka as Koto Zakura. So yay for that. Another yay is Kakeru and Goedo have now been approved to be on the referee committee.
So we'll see them right around the dojo?
Quite possibly.
Oh,
we will
that's
see them
great.
On the as a shimpan during the tournament. So that is exciting.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's like seeing your old friends.
It is. It is.
News related. Did you see that we finally saw what was ailing Kirishima?
It was head, neck, head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Yeah.
Basically.
We got a list of who had doctor's notes to skip the tour. And Kirishima was on that list.
Yeah.
And it basically said he has tendonitis everywhere.
Yeah.
Tendonitis in both elbows, shoulder, and neck.
Right. And I think that one of the news things I actually forgot to mention was that Mutsu stable has also officially moved over to Kakeru stable, and that Oyakata will be like available for hire. So I imagine Kakeru will be running that small stable because he only has a handful of guys.
Well, let's hope he has a good body worker on staff.
Yeah,
that can work on tendonitis.
Tendonitis is nasty. It's like takes months and months and months to like deal with that.
Yeah,
pain.
You just got to get that swelling down.
Yeah.
And you need some good body work. And you really need like 3 months off.
Yeah.
So let's hope he's getting some good rest. But
let's
at least
hope.
Now we have some answers as to what was happening.
Exactly. There is confusion with Miyagino stable and all of this hubbub because it was officially been determined that his stable, Hako stable, who was dealing with all of the punishment and issues with the violence with Hokuseiho, they will be officially sent over to Isagahama stable for an undetermined period of time. There's a logistics problem, which is the fact that Hakuho stable has like 20 guys as a bunch of guys, and everyone's like, how are they going to literally go be at the Isagahama stable, which is also a large stable? So the wrestlers, there's been some press that's been trying to get kind of some information from the wrestlers, and they're all very tight-lipped about how it's working. But there was even one kid who was a wrestler this week who was like, none of us at Miyagino kind of know what's happening. It's all very confusing. We don't know where we're going to be tomorrow. So there is a lot of confusion. But the one thing we do know is that on April 3rd, Hakuho will be at Isagahama doing practice in the morning, and I assume with the wrestlers. So I don't know how it's going to work out. But that is the most, I guess, the thing dominating overall the news cycle is this continued hubbub over Hakuho stable. And will the stable that's being built right now for Hakuho, will that continue on? Because, by the way, he has been building a primo stable in the same area that a lot of other stables are for a while. And this is like luxury, top of the line stable. And like neighborhood people are like, we don't know what's that going to happen to that stable. Is it going to continue to be built? I have my suspicions that this is a trial thing and that he will continue on Hakuho with his own stable in time. But for right now, it's hush, hush, mass confusion, and more hush, hush.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like he was going to go to that stable and there were other coaches there who were going to, quote unquote, help him learn what it is to be a coach.
Yeah, I mean, right? he's going,
has some oversight.
Yeah, he's going. Ishigura, who is assistant coach there, he's going. Yeah. They're all going.
I'm all for mentorship programs.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge change. You've been a wrestler all your life and then suddenly you're coach. Why not? Everyone should have a mentor.
I know, but his mentor is the person who's done the exact same thing and was punished like 2 years ago.
Well,
we'll talk about that.
We don't know that. We'll talk more. We'll talk.
But we'll talk more about that. And then the last bit of news is that one of our favorite small guy wrestlers, Tetsu Tsuyoshi, will now be retired. He has officially retired, and we could say goodbye to good old Tetsu Tsuyoshi.
And if you don't know who Tetsu Tsuyoshi is, you know, he hasn't been in the top division for a little while. I prepared a little segment about Tetsu Tsuyoshi and who he is and why we love him. But then we've got this wonderful, amazing email from Tasha, who actually does a much better job of explaining why people love him or why people hate him. So just listen to this email that she sent in and you'll learn everything you need to know about Tetsu Tsuyoshi. She wrote, "My heart is broken at Tetsu Tsuyoshi's Intai. Visibly evident the toll his chronic health condition was taking.
Yes.
He's been slowly shrinking in size since his Makauchi debut." And I'll just say he was a small wrestler to begin with. He's only 5'7". He still is 5'7". But he was pretty bulky when he first showed up. And he's just been getting smaller and smaller and seemed to be weaker and weaker. And that's really tough for a 5'7 guy in the top division. In what became his final basho last January, he appeared to have fallen under 100 kilos. Despite the emphatic cheers from the sparse spectators early in the day, he looked despondent, even when he won. And she says, you know, few watchers because he's fallen down in the ranks and there just aren't that many people watching.
Yeah,
in
he used to be
ranks.
In Makuchi and now he's in the non-paying ranks and no one ever sees him and it's an empty arena.
Yeah.
So that's got to be really, really hard.
Upon his retirement at age 29, he spent half of his life in Ozumo. He left schooling and entered professional sumo as young as you legally can, climbed the ranks and topped out at Maegashira 3. His 14 years as a sumo tori, 6 as sekitori, including 4 consecutive years in Makauchi. 4 consecutive years, y'all.
That's impressive.
In Makauchi for a 5'7 guy is amazing. A Kanto show and a June Yu show in Nagoya 2019, all very impressive for a man that was almost always the smallest and lightest in his division. It was his outsized determination, not his stature, that made him successful. I will miss his swagger. He really relished the spotlight. Tetsu Tsuyoshi knew he was hot and his sumo was sexy. Even he couldn't escape his own gravity as he clearly loved the camera and was always checking himself out on TV. And I have to agree with this. I always loved whenever they caught a glimpse of him, like in the Hanamichi and stuff, because he loved the camera. When exiting the division Doyo-iri, attending to the Yokozuna, traversing pre- or post-bout in the Hanamichi, if there was a broadcast monitor around, he was glancing, if not gazing. Might have been a fever dream narrated by Murray Johnson, chortling in disbelief, but I swear, Mr. Salty, he's often called Mr. Salty, once tried to meta-coerce NHK to replay his match one more time by refusing to move on and stop staring at the monitor of the live feed, showing him staring at the monitor of the live feed. His showmanship made him a darling of the broadcasters and the fans alike, but it served a grander purpose for the small man. He enjoyed pandering to the fans to harness the energy of a bout, and he never squandered any advantage he could attain. Take his elaborate ring rituals. All Rikishi recycle rights, but most wrestlers pick one or two. Not Salt Bae. He picked them all. Starting with a long Asashoryu stare and wide-armed pivoting belt slap, emphatic crab walk to the corner, throw in some animated body slaps for good measure, towel down into a Kotoshogiku backbend, then forward into a Takeyasu flex. All just the preamble to the epic Salt. Cast high to thrill the spectators and sow doubt in an opponent's mind that they might slip up as a result. At the Tachi-ai, he was a practitioner of flash and distraction and would frequently start with a slap to his opponent's face or occasionally the noisy jump scare of sumo, Neko Damashi, called cat trick. But he could also set diversion aside to demonstrate straight-on sumo with even the largest men in the field. His small size afforded him speed and agility when he tactically employed in wild and unpredictable ways. This little man brought the big psych game. Teretsuyoshi could back up his bravado and was an outstandingly skilled technician. Once one of the most driven and hardest training Rikishi, with a cauliflower ear and record to prove it. He used 41 unique kimarite to win during his career. The GOAT used 42 and had a longer career to achieve such an expansive list. Of the See, I didn't know that. I didn't even look into his, like, how many kimarite he tended to use. But it makes sense, because you've got to use them all as a small
Well, as a small
wrestler.
Guy you do. Or you become like Midori Fuji, where you got one that is the deadliest of them all.
Right? Of the kimarite that have been executed once in Makauchi, Teretsuyoshi is the only Rikishi to perform okurigake, rear leg trip. His ashitori, the leg pick, was a thing of beauty. Although he was known to prepare a plan of attack for each bout, he could dispense from his impressive catalog of technique on the fly. His moves didn't always work, but as a font of trips, props, tricks, twists, throws, he treated us to seldom seen and dazzling kimarite, like Soto Komata, the over-thigh scooping body drop, I remember that one, Watashi Komi, thigh-grabbing pushdown, Kirikaeshi, twisting backward knee trip, all these ones that we absolutely love, Amiuchi, the fisherman's throw, ooh, I remember that one, mm-hmm. I remember when he threw that one, and Koshinage, hip throw that results in a very resentful opponent, and my most favorite Teretsuyoshi match ever. His wins were sometimes remarkably memorable, like that time he gave Ishiura the ultimate atomic wedgie, lifted up a squirming Tochinoshin, or harite the shit out of everybody's favorite Ura. I'd like to say, to forget his determined yet depressing historic Zenpai, which is 0-15 Basho, mm-hmm. where he didn't win one. But even that was sort of amazing and certainly captivated fans' attentions. It did mine.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. His charismatic sumo was very entertaining, even when he lost. And let's face it, he did that half the time. It's less fun to cheer for someone who rarely falters. A win just isn't as sweet without those crushing defeats. I will miss learning from his matches. My technical knowledge of the sport has benefited and grown from being a fan of Teretsuyoshi. I wonder what a man with a grade 9 education, whose only skill is combat, will do with the rest of his life. After Lizard Gate, the cutest sumo scandal ever, I hope he keeps pursuing something involving reptiles. And y'all, if you don't know what that is, he didn't show up for the sumo tour because it was right after that 0-15 Basho when mm-hmm. he lost them all and he was not feeling well. And he said, I can't go on tour. And they were like, okay, fine. But then he was photographed at the reptile show and like in Western clothes.
Yeah.
Buying reptiles.
Right, because he's a reptile
he's
fan.
He's a reptile
fan.
He
loves his reptiles.
Yes. So, I mean, we all actually adored that sumo scandal.
I think that's a perfect perfectly good way of skipping, you know, school one day.
Exactly. So Tasha says the only thing hotter than Salty in a chonmage is Salty wearing a snake.
That's true. If he had a pre-bout ritual that involved a snake, the popularity of sumo would quadruple at least.
Tasha finishes her email by attaching 30 videos of Teretsuyoshi, which I'm going to watch. Absolutely. But she also says, confession time, I used to work in local news and radio, so apparently I can't stop writing obits like this email and splicing promos like my secret sorted collection of musical sumo clips. Wow. Oh, my gosh. So, Tasha, thank you. Thank you for sending this email. It is a thing of beauty. And
it's a wonderful tribute to an incredible wrestler. And I mean, I feel like everybody has their own favorite wrestler, you know, for their own reasons. And sometimes, you know, like I haven't paid as much attention to Teretsuyoshi because I like a hairy bear, which is Takeyasu. You know, everybody has their thing and their reasons. So it is always kind of fun to hear just why somebody absolutely adores a wrestler that you may overlook, you know, but he was exciting and it is sad. And what a wrestler. He came out of Isagahama stable.
Yep.
And so I don't think it's any small coincidence that the rest of today we're going to be kind of dedicating to that stable and how exactly has that stable master created a bevy of fierce and amazing wrestlers. I thought I'd start by going to the extremely outdated website for Isagahama Stable, which I'm pretty sure doesn't even have some of the modern wrestlers like even listed.
Actually, I was there and it says that Terunofuji is still in Ozeki.
Yeah, that's what I saw too. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it's time for you all to hire somebody to, I will update your website. Yeah. I mean, just let me do it. But so this is a little greeting I thought I'd read from Isagahama Oyakata when visiting the website from 2 years ago. Thank you for visiting the Isagahama Stable homepage. Since I founded the stable, we have produced many sekitori, including Juryo guy we don't recognize, Makauchi guy I don't recognize, Sekiwaki guy I don't recognize, Yokozuna Haramafuji, Sekiwaki Takarafuji, another Makauchi guy we don't know, Ozeki Terunofuji, oh, and Teretsuyoshi, I think, plus add Takeru Fuji and Nishiki Fuji and the six of the
Atami,
Atami Fuji. You have to add all the other Fujis essentially, and then who's the one that doesn't have Fuji at the end of his
Teretsuyoshi.
Name? Teretsuyoshi. Yeah, that's it. Anyway,
so the Teru suffix, no, prefix Teru is what often goes with the wrestlers in the stable. Fuji sometimes goes with the wrestlers.
Fuji most of the time because he was Asahi Fuji when he was a Yokozuna.
Which he picked because he just liked Fuji.
Well, it's Mount Fuji.
Well, he liked Chiyonofuji.
Yeah.
Chiyonofuji was a famous wrestler, y'all. And he was like, oh, okay, it's a popular name. The girls seem to like it. So I'll take the Fuji.
Yeah. But some of that probably comes down through he inherits a stable and then he switches names and some other inheriting of stables business. So sometimes the naming stuff comes along with inheritance and all that. And sometimes it's given to you. But the one thing that I do like all the Takas, the Taka Keisho, Taka No Shows, they're all Taka. They all have the same prefix.
Mm-hmm.
These all have the same. What is that? Suffix? What's at the end? Suffix?
Yeah. Most of them. Not all of them.
Most of them have a Fuji. So there's that. So back to
If not, they have a Teru.
Exactly. So, or both.
Yeah.
A Teru and a Fuji.
Yeah.
So back to his own writing. My ability to become a sekitori was not only possible through my efforts, but importantly because of everyone's support, and I'm deeply grateful to both my teachers and students. My first goal is always to teach the children who enter the school to become sekitori. But from what I have seen so far, I have never had all the children who would become sekitori. So basically what he's saying is that not all of them succeed into sekitori world.
Yeah.
But I will not give up and will continue to teach until the end. Which I remind you, Terunofuji wanted to retire, and he was the one who was like, oh, no, I think you can do it.
Mm-hmm. I will not allow you to retire.
I will not, essentially. But anyway, he says, however, some people end up quitting because they are unable to become Secretary, but we train them to become people who can contribute to society in some way, even after they retire, which I like. Anyway, right now, he says, right now, I'm filled with a feeling that I want everyone to become stronger. I will continue to devote myself to sumo and work hard to develop sumo. Please look forward to the future successes of Isagahama Stable sumo wrestlers. He was born in 1960, and that puts him right at about 64 years old, everyone.
Yep.
So what we're going to see coming down the pike is him retiring in a year and going, okay, well, is Ted Inafuji going to retire? And is that his stable that he's going to inherit? Could quite possibly be. He has produced many top-ranked wrestlers, and Larry will continue to talk about that. But in his career, he also dealt with some issues, like his own battle as a wrestler with internal diseases, like pancreatitis. He constantly was kind of dealing with that throughout his whole career. So when you think of someone like Tetsuyoshi being able to push through it, he always had a master who understood what that was like to be able to fight through their own physical ailments somehow. But he was the son of a fisherman. He grew up in a fishing town he's from Aomori Prefecture. His father, actually I lied, he's not a fisherman, was an electrician. So ignore everything I just said. I was way off. Way off. But I'm not crazy about the fishing thing. Okay. I'll tell you that in a minute.
Okay.
But he was a keen amateur enthusiast, and his dad was like—
Amateur enthusiast? What does that mean?
Yeah, meaning like he was never a wrestler, but he was sumo.
Amateur sumo enthusiast. Got it.
Yeah, and he was vice president of the sumo federation, the prefectural sumo federation.
So got it.
He'd always been determined to see his son succeed in sumo. He even built a sumo in the back garden of their plant. Of their place to practice.
His dad is just like all the wrestlers like in America who are building dojos in their backyard. Yeah.
So he did really well as a kid growing up. He went to Kinki University, which is not Kinki. It's the Kinki University. The Kinki. I don't know. Kinki thinks probably go on a Kinki.
We think it's one of the best names for high school ever.
I think it's a university. Oh, so college.
Kinki University.
But he did, this is where I got the fishing thing. He did give up sumo for a time, and I don't know how long that was.
To fish.
Yeah. He spent his time fishing. So he just needed to go and fish for a while. And when I look at him.
Two tough jobs, actually. If you got to choose between them, they're both really tough.
If I saw a picture of him, like casting, you know, a line and sitting there reeling, he has the face of a fisherman. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, he's very peaceful, and like, you don't see him smile all that much, but I could see him with a fishing pole in hand, just sitting there and reeling in.
Very peaceful. Did you land on the Reddit stream it's him smiling? Is it two pictures? It's one picture. It's him frowning and then it's him smiling. But it's all these people commenting about the picture because they're like, he's only smiling from the nose down. It's kind of creepy.
That's what I mean.
His eyes
are kind of dead. And then he doesn't have tiny teeth, but like, it's not the smile that matches his mouth when you finally see it. You're like, oh, that's surprising. Anyway. His father, after he went off the boat fishing, he was just, I don't know if he was on a boat or on shore. I don't know. He's fishing for an undetermined period of time. He had an acquaintance introduce him to a former Ozeki, Asahi Kuni, and who opened his own stable. And all in all, to say, I think that's where he got the beginning of his Shikona, because that's not his original name. His original name is Masaya Suginomori.
Messiah? He is the Messiah?
No. Messiah. Messiah.
I did not expect Suginomori. You to say Messiah.
Well, not M-E-S-S-I-A-H. It's M-A-S-A-Y-A. Messiah. Messiah. Suginomori. And yeah, so his shikona was Asahi Fuji, probably Asahi, named after Asahi Kuni. I mean, that's my guess. Don't know. But he had a history of a fighting record of about 575 wins to 324 losses. He won 4 Bashos, which is fewer than I thought, but he had like a ton of runner-ups, like 9 runner-ups, which is pretty good.
And didn't he have like a series of 5 in a row where he was runner-up? He was second place? I mean, kind of like Takayasu.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Takayasu.
He just had a career where he was, if he didn't clinch
it. Except it wasn't a long career, right? Like, well, Takayasu's career is long.
No, he had a long career. He just, as a Yokozuna, I think maybe not as long. And also, one thing to remember, when I was looking at his record and who he lost to, you have to keep in mind who he was fighting. Hokuto Umi, who was the same age as him, and Kayo, and Konishiki, and Chiyono Fuji. Mm-hmm. So he was fighting amongst warrior-level Yokozuna. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to win is one thing, but amongst that group of people is an incredible effort. I think he just came into this sumo world at a time where there were some dominant guys. His favorite food, though, is watermelon, and his favorite hobby is meal.
Just meal. Yeah.
Not I meals, saw that eating too. Meals, just meal. So he just is very simple that he likes meal. So, yeah, you could look at his record and know that, like, once he hit Sekiwake, it started to kind of really kick in. And then he was kind of unstoppable once he was Ozeki and then turned Yokozuna. He was consistently 11 wins, 10 wins, 10 wins, 12, 11, 14, 12, 12, 11, 12, 12, 14, 13, 13. He had a little bit of a spell in there where he was 8-7. But when you look at the record for the most part until the very end, when his pancreatitis and spondylosis was acting up,
he has spondylosis?
Uh-huh. I don't know what that is.
It's arthritis. It's when your joints swell up.
Yeah. The last last 3 tournaments, it was like 2 wins, 4 losses, 9 out. The 15 was out.
Then
he retired. So
it's low back pain. That's what I remember, right? Oh. I remember reading that. Like he had pancreatitis. And he must have had swelling in his low back due to, I mean, sumo.
Anything.
Yeah.
But prior to that, he had incredible records. And when you kind of look at our high-ranked guys today, our Ozekis are turning in like 8-7s, like maybe a 10-4. He had years and years of turning in at least 10, 11, 12. So imagine that expectation for his wrestlers is pretty high. He went through sumo pretty quick in 2 years to get up to Makauchi, I think, but he probably suffered a little bit of getting your sea legs, but then once he kicked it on, he was unstoppable. And I kind of feel like a lot of his wrestlers, to be able to become Yokozuna, have had to be the same. And they've benefited from whatever that drive is he has from, I don't know if it's skill, it's tenacity. I don't know what it is. Maybe you can enlighten me on that. But he sure performed and performed well until the very end. And then he retired.
Okay. Well, I tried to look into sort of what happened to him after he retired and once he became a coach. But I have to say this was incredibly difficult for me to research because it's not like you can just be like, what's Isagahama Oyakata like as a coach? And anything will pop up. That's just, it's not the way it works.
Well, he became Ajikawa and he raised up Aminishiki and then he had another, before he took the name Isagahama, he had, I think, inherited the Ajikawa stable. So he had established that stable. And then when a more prestigious name came along, he took that. And that became the Isagahama stable.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even look at that stuff because those sorts of details just make my eyes cross.
I'm
like,
it's a
lot.
Who
is this man? What is his personality like? And this is what I try to get to from across the globe, trying to like suss someone out via the internet. And let me just tell you what I've come down to. And I want to tell you this little tidbit first, because this will help. As a wrestler, He earned the nickname of Sea Cucumber, a name he detested. He hated that nickname.
Well, it looks like a penis, that's why.
No, he was named that way, not because it looked like a penis, but because he had, as a wrestler, some sort of ungraspable nature.
Is it wiggly?
He had, the way they described his wrestling, I came across several times, they said that he, like, completely had this really bored look about himself as a wrestler. Exactly. But it concealed very well-honed skills that had like flashes of tenacity and flashes of spirit. But from the outside, he looked bored all the time. And he was just
bored
hard.
Like he's fishing? Maybe because he wishes he was fishing.
Well, maybe. But they were like, it's ungraspable. And that sort of nature is what a sea cucumber is like. Now, because it looks like what it looks like, that may be why he detested that nickname. But I tell you that from the beginning, because that sort of like bored, like I can't quite figure out what your nature is on the outside. I can't figure out who you are on the outside. But inside, there's something very different going on. And that seems to define the man somehow. Mm-hmm. Like you've mentioned most of the, you know, really popular guys that he's brought up from Amanishiki, his brother, Asofuji, Haramafuji, many of these wrestlers that we know, and Taranofuji, Takarafuji, Midorifuji, the list goes on and on and on. But here's what I want you to remember. It's a pretty recent development. It's not like he's been really good at this for, well, he probably has been 20 years, you know, really, really good at this. But he's only been able to produce a lot of guys in Makauchi in the last 5 years. Mm. In 2017, he had 4 wrestlers in Makauchi and Juryo. That was the same year that Haramafuji, he was one of them, mm-hmm. had to retire. He had to retire in November of that year due to violence, y'all. A scandal with violence. Okay. Of which this Oyakata said, I've known this kid since he was 16. I've never seen a flash mm-hmm. of any of this. How could this, like, supposedly he was crying, yeah, right? I've never seen this. Okay.
The press conference he was.
Yes. And also in 2017, former Ozeki Taranofuji fell to Juryo because of his injuries, right? Mm-hmm. So all of this was happening in 2017. In 2020, this stable and him as an Oyakata, he regained some cred, I'll say, when Taranofuji came roaring back to Makauchi and won a Yusho on his way back up to Yokozuna status mm-hmm. a year later. And in 2022, he had 6 wrestlers in the top division. Also the same year in which he had to resign a seat on the board of directors because 2 wrestlers in his stable were beating others with wooden bats and pouring hot water mm-hmm. in hot chonko on other wrestlers' back. So I only mention this because he's still an ungraspable figure. He's a somewhat sleepy-looking guy, mm-hmm. very tall and thin mm-hmm. now. Many of the wrestlers in his stable seem somewhat afraid of his coach's wrath. And that may be a common thing throughout all of the training rooms. I have no idea. But from, like, I caught a few articles of people that visited Isagahama Stable. And what they would say is that, okay, wrestlers will wait at the bottom of the elevator, the Oyakata's elevator, mm-hmm. and the minute the light goes on that says the elevator's coming down, they get everybody to the training area, and they're like, the coach is on his way, the coach is on his way. And once he comes in, those wrestlers start visibly practicing harder, right? When the Oyakata is completely absent, let's say he's got business elsewhere, the atmosphere in his stable is completely relaxed.
Right. When the cat's away, the mice will play.
Exactly. I found one story where there was a whole bunch of press at his photographers and press at his stable. And it was when Haruma Fuji was there. Right. And they were like taking pictures of the training because Haruma Fuji was like doing really well. But this guy wasn't there that day. And they were, all the press were really confused because Haruma Fuji wasn't training really hard. He was basically saying, he was like throwing salt crystals across the room and inviting his junior wrestlers to like be a part of this giant crystal throwing contest. Junior wrestlers, they were like really confused. They were like, What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? You really want me to throw these crystals? And then before long, like all the wrestlers were playing crystal frisbee with salt cubes in full view of these press people that had come. And then I also found stories of how he really doesn't like the press at all. Like they would come to his stable and he would be like yelling at the reporters, like turn the flashes of your cameras off, like screaming at them. This is Keiko. My men are trying to concentrate. You're ruining their concentration. He's not known as being like overly loving, overly right. enthusiastic about his wrestlers. He seems to be a bit of a straight shooter, and he seems to really not like the press.
Well, he was called a sea cucumber for exactly. a lot of those years, so maybe exactly. it's just baggage he holds on to.
Like, whenever the press ask him questions, like, they will often ask him, like, hey, the Bonsuke is coming out. Like, what do you think is going to happen to the men on your roll in the Bonsuke? And he will just answer with the same as before. You're just going to have to wait and see.
It's just really interesting. And I mean, tying this back to the whole Miyagino being absorbed by Isekahama, it's very interesting to me, like what you just said, though, about when he wasn't around, the wrestlers were screwing around. And that's what Hakuho has been, I mean, the same exact thing happened to Isekahama. And he didn't get the punishment of his whole stable being absorbed into somebody else's. So there's a lot of weird things that happen. That have happened where we've got the same instance and now Hakuho has to bring his whole stable into Isekahama to be mentored by the very man who allowed the exact same thing to happen at his stable. When he was away, the mice played, and in a not nice way.
And what's so strange about it is that it takes you right back to all of those reports from the JSA about what actually happened in those moments in Isekahama stable when similar things were happening.
Right.
And you could find, I mean, the reports seem to be at least partially online, in which there are other coaches at Isekahama who then reported, you know, my master just said he didn't want to know about these things. Like, he knew that it was happening sometimes, but he would say something like, don't tell me every time it happens. Just take care of the issue. I don't want to know about it. I am here to train to teach these guys how to fight. And
Isekahama stable needs an HR representative.
Well,
and where's the
hard to know.
Where's the Okami-san? Because that's usually her job.
And the JSA reports always come down to, look, if the master of the stable doesn't even, either one, doesn't want to know about apprentices' violence,
right,
or doesn't want to stop it, even though he's aware of it, he is an unqualified leader.
Right.
And it will say that in the reports. Now, at the same time, he has produced two Yokozuna.
Right. And I cannot
imagine that the JSA wants to get rid of someone who used to be president of their JSA, someone who's been on the board, someone who is so close to retire. I mean, maybe I'm quite Pollyanna in the way I view things. Maybe he has turned things around.
Well, yeah, maybe the whole reason why they're sending Hakuho there is that you're like, here's the guy who it happened to before.
Right.
And here is how he finally fixed it. But then again, I don't know.
And that's the way I like to think of it. Like, if you're going to learn from anybody, this guy is in your Ichiman, right? He's in your group.
Right.
So we're going to keep your group together.
Right.
And he's had similar problems. We've been working with this guy for a long time to fix the issue. And here's why not learn from him and his other coaches there about how they're dealing with the issue.
Right.
That's my Pollyanna view of it. But I'm just interested. Cucumber.
I'm interested to see what, I mean, we'd never know, but how does Isekahama Oyakata feel about this move himself? Because this screws up all the rhythm in his own very dominant, very powerful stable. And the rest of the JSA wants to muck that up a little bit.
Or it brings him Hakuho.
Hakuoho?
Well, it brings Hakuoho and Hakuho there, and Hakuho's mind
right.
and training regimen.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure he's like, well, I could probably learn something from this guy. He's a Yokozuna as well. He's got different style. So in a lot of ways, it seems kind of like the perfect place to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if both parties are excited about this opportunity.
Well, that is the big question.
Yeah.
That is the big question mark.
All we know is that Hakuho, or whatever his name, Miyagino Oyakata, is is very tight-lipped about it. Everyone's tight-lipped and very confused. And until we see, once they start doing joint keiko or somehow doing keiko, I don't know where the guys are living, we won't really know until we start seeing. And I'm sure they'll probably be closed to the press as well.
Well, it's essentially doubling the size of the stables because he has about 20 wrestlers and so does Hakuho.
Right. There's not enough places for them to sleep. And I did read one article that said, like, some of the guys are sleeping in the training room. They're sleeping all around. So I don't know where. I don't know.
I think it's a really good thing if there's a lot more coaches around.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot more visibility.
If it's just two guys, like, trying to do all this business at the JSA and train wrestlers, that's too much. But the more coaches you have trying to oversee 40 young men doing an extremely physical sport, not being able to go out much, like, you need more hands on deck, seems to me. If you, and especially if you've had those sort of issues in the past, you need a lot more mentorship. You need a lot more education.
Just watchful eyes when practice is over. That's the issue. They're all practicing hard. It's just who's babysitting them after hours.
Yeah.
And apparently no one was. And Teta Nafuji said all the high rankers, they have tons of them. They don't live in the stable anymore. All of them live with their families. So you've got a bunch of young guys who are trying to make it to the upper levels babysitting themselves. So it will be interesting who will be around to babysit them at night. But I hope somebody is.
Me too. So this is why we kind of wanted to go into Isagahama, like who he was and what has been happening at the stable, because it's ground zero for what's happening with Hakuho stable now.
Yeah.
The sea cucumber versus the goat. Maybe it's not a versus. The sea cucumber and the goat together can produce even better coaching and better wrestlers, maybe.
Let's hope. Only time will tell. So we will see. There's lots of moving and shaking in this whole with Mutsu moving over to Kakaru's stable or Otawayama. This merging, I feel like the next basho will be bonkers. I do.
It could be.
But I like bonkers. So anyway, that is it for this week's Sumo Kaboom. We hope to have you back next week as we talk about who knows what else, what will be on our minds next week. But it will be sumo related and we will love talking about it. So until then, I'm Leslie.
I'm Laurie. See you later.
Bye.